Lord, here we are, and we just want to worship you in spirit and truth today. And Lord, I pray that our act of worship would transform us, Lord, into acts of worship in our life and in our lifestyle. Lord, I pray that just as we've sent off missionaries now to Tanzania, that you would send us out of here as missionaries, wherever it is that we're going, whether it's we're here in Des Moines or the suburbs or wherever it is that our week will take us this week, Lord. We know that we carry you with us wherever we go because your Holy Spirit resides in us. And Lord, we know that you will do wondrous things if we give you the opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all this week just to relax and to let you work through us. To give us words when we need them and not when we don't, to help us keep silent, but in all things to be anxious to serve, to be anxious to be a witness of who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you have entrusted us with a priceless treasure. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be generous in giving it away, knowing that you are the one who keeps us full and you replenish. Now, Lord, we pray that you would give the preacher the words to say, that you would help his failed, fallen flesh to get out of the way and not be an obstacle to anyone hearing what it is that you want to say. We pray, Lord, that your word would go forth and that by hearing it, faith would be created where it needs to be. Lord, that faith that's struggling would be encouraged. And Lord, that faith that has become haughty would be broken down. And now, Lord, we commit to you all of this. We know that you're here. Do something wondrous in us today. And we pray it all in the strong and the mighty, the wonderful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. Okay. Today, the actual text for the sermon is out there somewhere in the lobby where you came in. There's like a stack of them. And it's simply entitled Our Story. We're starting a new sermon series today. I've gone for, I don't know, I think it's like 5 weeks. I'm not really sure. And the whole point of it is to talk about what God is doing in our midst right now and how that affects who we are as a congregation. Each one kind of builds on the next. All right, I understand that we live in a world in which perfect church attendance is twice a month, okay? Because everything is so crazy busy. This is Iowa, and, you know, people go home to the farm or, you know, the town or wherever it is, go see grandma, mom, and dad. We got traveling teams. We got that weather thing, you know. When it's good, we want to be out there. And when it's bad, we want to stay away. You know what I mean? It's just, who knew that the church couldn't win, you know, when it came to weather? But so, you know, we got podcasts of this stuff. This is on my blog site if you want to go there. There are a couple of resources that you can link to or follow. Anyway, really where we begin with is this question. A question that we asked ourselves about 2 years ago with our governing board, the Board of Spiritual Oversight. We asked the board, if our church closed today, would anyone in our community miss us? And it was a unanimous answer. The answer was, unfortunately, no. Because, this is the reasoning, we have some very nice church-going people who would simply go to church in other places. That people, you know, would miss the fellowship, I guess, but that's, you know, kind of not something that the community shares with us. I mean, it's something that you know, we kind of have here around a cup of coffee and a donut or whatever, you know. Those relationships would continue, but just not in this place. That there were some organizations that use our space from time to time, but that they would find other places. And I mean, you know, it's kind of a kind of a moment. And of course, you know, it gave me kind of a complex, you know, personally, because who wants to be the pastor of a church that, you know, could close tomorrow and nobody cares, you know? But I kind of feel that way sometimes. Every once in a while, I get the opportunity to go to another church, and there are better preachers. Frankly, there are bigger organs. There are taller steeples. There are, you know, more dynamic music programs or whatever. There are more fun Sunday schools. Okay? And sometimes you just kind of think, you know, why do we do this? And you know, people say, well, it's relationship, and that's good, but the thing is that we have to be careful in the Church of Jesus Christ that the truth of what it is that we've been given, what it is that we believe, is always more important than our relationships. Because the truth is forever. It's eternal. It's from God. It's what's first and foremost. And so, you know, we found ourselves in this quandary, and we thought, well, how do we fix that? And so step one of our project was that we would appoint the lead pastor, that'd be me, to go to every house that is in a, you know, giant rectangle around our property, knock on the door, give them a packet of information. It was a nice packet of information. It was the best that we could do. She invited them to church, showed them everything, gave them a DVD. There was all kinds of stuff in there. And we put in there too, and I don't think the board realized this, but we spent some money. And we went and we bought, because it just opened up, what was the name of that restaurant? Buffalo Wild Wings. We put Buffalo Wild Wing gift certificates in the pages of the stuff. And so when I handed it to him, I said, don't just go and throw this away, because there's a gift certificate in there, and it's, you know, you'll be sorry. Okay? Because I figured, you know, if they had to dig for it, right, maybe they'd see something, okay, that would catch their eye. So, you know, you go around and say, hi, how are you? I'm Pastor John, pastor of that church over there. Over where? Oh, is that a church? You know, I mean, okay. And you know what's astounding is that, I don't know, what, 30-some houses, right? It's astounding the number of people who simply don't go to church. You know, one of the things with fear and trepidation, a little bit for me, because I'd heard things, like the lady who lives over there had it in for us because of the bells. She just hates those bells, and do you know what I mean? And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. So every house over there, I was nervous until I came to her house. And the guy who answered the door, really nice guy, he was new, and the lady who lived there before had died. And, you know, it was like, oh, you know. And, you know, he was okay with the bells, you know what I mean? He liked the bells, and so, all right, it's great, you know. And wanted to ask, you know, what kind of neighbors are we? Are we doing okay? You know, because we had this thing where a tree fell in the woods, and, you know, it's like, well, what side of the, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Just normal human issues. But you know, when we don't handle human issues well, as a church, we always give Jesus a black eye. And I think one of the things that we have to understand, because the book says so, right, is that the church, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about us, the congregation, we really are the body of Christ. It's not meant to be, you know, metaphorical. Paul's on the road to Damascus. Jesus comes and pushes him down and sits him on his bottom. And, you know, he says, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Now, keep in mind, Jesus has already been crucified, risen, and ascended into heaven. And so Paul isn't persecuting Jesus in the flesh. He's persecuting Jesus' flesh, the body of Christ, the people who follow him. And so, you know, the thing is that when the church does what it's supposed to do, and people say, wow, that's amazing, Jesus gets the glory because he's the head of the body. And when the body doesn't do what it's supposed to do, right, we give the Savior a black eye. And that's just kind of the way that it is. And that's why when you go and you look at research, which, you know, I don't know, it only goes so far, but I think it's important. It's important for us to understand the perceptions that people have of us. When you go and you ask Americans, do you like God? You know, 95%, God's good, okay? What do you think about spirituality? Oh, awesome, going to get a spiritual life, okay? Everybody's down with that. You ask people, what do you think about Jesus? Okay, overwhelmingly, people like Jesus, okay? At the very least, Jesus is just all right, okay? Thank you. All right, and but then you go and you ask them the fourth question. Okay, should have stopped at three. What do you think of church? Okay, it's like nobody likes the church, even the people who go. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's just like, what's wrong with us that, you know, we are so poorly perceived? And I think it probably has to do with the way that we, you know, treat one another, and I think it has to do with the way that we interact with the world. Because I think a lot of times the world doesn't perceive us as the followers of Jesus, who's okay, all right? They don't see us as being on the side of God, which is, you know, he's good. They don't see us as the place where you would enhance your spirituality. They see us as, well, less than that. And that's tragic, and it's too bad. Okay, so met a lot of nice people, haven't borne really a lot of fruit, got a list of people to pray for, but next phase of the project, let's go out and let's talk to institutions. Went to Merle Hay Mall, met with a very nice Mormon general manager. Maybe we can do a glove drive, okay? That's, you know, kind of where we found. Very pleasant conversation. Went to Veterans Hospital. They're anxious to have you come and volunteer. We've made that available to you last year. To my knowledge so far, nobody's picked up on that. I think it was the 30-page application that, you know, kind of scares people away because, well, it's a federal place, right? Okay, so you got to go through the whole Homeland Security thing and all the rest of it. And but this would be a great thing, people. We would encourage that because you're working with, you know, people who have served this country. You're being a witness. And you know what? On the inside, there are wondrous things that you can do. We go caroling there. For a while, they told us we couldn't come. We got Pastor Chris, you know, Army Reserve chaplain, just to read them the Riot Act on that. And it was kind of like, maybe that's not the best way to approach that. So the next year, we went humbly with hat in hand, right? And turns out they're happy to do that. There are Christians in there. They told us what you say, what you don't say. You just go up to the vets and you ask them, what Christmas carol would you like to hear? And if they request it, you can talk about Jesus all day long. It's a very beautiful thing. All right. Moving on. Sat in my backyard, Bible. Sometimes, you know, I just kind of sit for hours and prayed. What do you want us to be? You know, enough already, okay? This is hard. And, you know, usually when I pray in frustration, he just kind of says, you know, cool it, Klein. You know, stop it. You're feeling sorry for yourself. And this time, no. And you know, if you've been to church here, you know, I don't know, sometimes God speaks in a way that I can understand. And it's just been that way since I was a kid. And he said, banquet. And I said, like what? And you have to understand my relationship with God. I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. It's just the way that I'm wired. Is it like what? Fried chicken? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Frozen fried chicken? Anybody banquet? Okay. No, like Luke 14. Okay. So we'll go to Luke 14. Luke 14, Jesus is having Sunday dinner. Well, Saturday dinner, it would have been Sabbath. And he's at somebody's house. And they're trying to trick him into healing people, which he does. And then starting with verse 7, Luke 14, you can join me if you want. This is what he says. He says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited you both will come and say to you, give this man your seat, and then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place. So that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place, and then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they were all alike, and they began to make excuses. The first one said, I've just bought a field, and I must go, and I must see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. And the servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. And, you know, we understand that. We understand what Jesus is doing. He's talking to the religious establishment of his days, and he's saying, you know what, salvation isn't like what you think it is. It's not just for you chosen people, because you chosen people were chosen for a purpose. You're supposed to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. You're my nation of holy priests. You're supposed to be a witness to me. People are going to look at the way that you live in relationship with me, and they're going to want a relationship with me through the way that y'all are living. You were saved, redeemed, chosen to bring in redemption, salvation, and chosenness for other people. I mean, it's just a very basic Jesus kind of fact. And you know how kingdom dynamics work, right? Civics for the kingdom of God. If you want to exalt yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to be humbled. You want to be exalted? Good. Go humble yourself. Go be humiliated. In Jesus' parlance, this is the way that it works. He's the guy who tells us, look, you want to give alms, you want to do charitable acts, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Remember all that? I mean, it's really interesting thing, because you can't get a big head about it. If you want to reward yourself and pat yourself on the back and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. You got your reward. Thanks very much. See you on the flip-flop, you know. So when we look at Luke 14, we come up with three things. When you give a banquet, Jesus says, don't invite those who can give you back. One of the things that strikes me is that so frequently in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are anxious that people come and join our church for what it is that they can give us. Think about it. Because we got a mortgage. Because the pastor's Mercedes, you know, needs to be paid for or whatever, right? And, you know, we think about that. How do you grow the church? How do you expand it? Well, we need people. We need what it is that they put in the plate every week. By the way, don't forget, there's a blue bucket out there on your way out. Second thing, the guests who were invited, the intended recipients of God's favor, didn't come, and they sent their excuses. And you see, I don't think anything's changed. I think it's always been this way. I think that there are a lot of people who, in the Church of Jesus Christ, don't show up to Jesus' banquet. Already been saved, you know, ho-hum. This isn't the place where they come to be with their Lord. This is more like an obligation. And you know how it is with obligations, don't you? The more obligations we have in our life, the more clever we become in getting out of them. Amen? It's kind of like, you know, find the loophole and let's go. See, and in the end, it's the servants, right? Not the guests. The servants, the ones who serve. They're the ones who get the joy of going out and compelling this motley crew of people who can never pay the homeowner back. The poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. And we realized that what we needed to do was we needed to go to people who could never pay us back, who had nothing that they could give us. And if we could do that, and if we could serve them, then we would be living in accordance with this particular teaching. God instructs also his servants to go. Go out to the highways and the byways. Go to the alleyways of the town. Compel people to come in. Church of Jesus Christ has to go. Jesus said, go. We can't just sit here and wait for people to come. It doesn't happen that way anymore. Not when 4% of the iGen generation comes to church. And who are they? They're the ones who are now, 10 to 25. Okay? Doesn't work. Sitting around waiting for them to come. So there was an image that came into my mind, a local apartment complex. Okay, fine, let's go there. We went there, and we did lunch for 150 and brought games and crafts and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Here was the deal. We made some contacts. But that's all. We just gave away lunch. We went back in July and August, September, October, December, gave away lunch. But you know, then something happened. The people who were doing this started to make connections. Relationships started to be formed, and we found out that people needed clothes and furniture and, you know, meals and stuff like that. I showed up one day just to walk around, you know, say hi to the people we'd met and everything, and you know, the kids came flocking up, and what'd they say? Hey, where's the food? Okay? And you know, it's kind of like, what, you guys think about food? I mean, do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, this is a big deal. All right, fine. We get this. And so we invited the kids to come. We had a little burgeoning program of tutoring on Wednesday nights in accordance with our Wednesday night program. And we had four kids in it. That first fall, we wound up with 40. By the spring, we had, I don't know, 70. We're running about 90 right now. And you see, they just love to come. They love to come play in the house of the Lord. They think you people are awesome. They love the food. They can't believe that, you know, people just spend time with them. It's true that they don't always want to learn their lessons. Okay? But the thing is, the food, the fun, the fellowship. Hey, come on. Don't sell the van ride short either. It's a big deal. When your life revolves around apartment complex and school, any divergent path that you can take opens up new worlds. It's really an amazing thing. Well, then we went to the school. And I figured they're just going to run us out of town. You know what I mean? It's a school. It's a government thing. Separation between church and state. This principal is going to laugh me out of the office. And she didn't. She said, I said, how can the church bless you? And I was all right. How can the church bless you? You know, right? And what she comes out the list. Well, you could do this, 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 and this. Because here's the deal. We got 100 new families this semester, and we're desperate. They don't speak English. And here's the deal. A lot of them are refugee kids, and they don't come to school when it's cold. They don't want to walk. I mean, they don't walk. The parents aren't there. They're at work. Kids cold, not going. So remember, a year ago, December, we started busing. We borrowed vans, got 10 drivers. It's an amazing thing. This year, what do they want? More. We're just a few days away from doubling our capacity on that. We're going to borrow another van, and we're going to run two runs in the morning, and this is great. Coincidentally, we've just entered into a relationship with Meredith and Hoover, which, in all honesty, I mean, what a miraculous thing. When the school starts coming to you, do you know what I mean? I mean, here we are, the church. What are we doing all day? You know, I golf all week. Do you know what I mean? We're just here on Sundays and all the rest of the stuff. And they start to come looking for us because they need stuff. And then all of a sudden, wow, that's the world turned upside down, isn't it? You know, usually it's us, like, why don't you let us pray? Or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And here it's like, would you please pick up children and bring them to school? Because you know what? The middle schoolers and the high schoolers, they have trouble getting here when it's cold. Dude, turns out. So I need 10 people and we need to go find another van. And, you know, we can facilitate this because that starts really early. And it'll all work together. So if you're interested, let me know. Volunteers. We got volunteers ready to go into the school, help kids read and all that kind of stuff. Right now, there's some sort of internal thing going on in the school district that they're like, okay, we're going to pause that for a minute. And I think, you know, we'll go through the process, though, with them, right? Hats, gloves, coats. You know, we gave every kid at Samuelson a book this time. And, you know, it's like if your kid comes home and you say, well, I can buy my kid a book. You know, this isn't a charity thing. No, it's the church just saying, here, have a book. That's a beautiful thing. How many parents say, oh, you know what? Not a bad place, that church. Pretty good. If you never buy your kid a book, kid never gets a book. Now he's got a book. We went to restaurants, and you know, one of them run by really nice Muslim guys, and he said, well, how can the church bless you? Okay, here's the deal. We need furniture. We've got all these Iraqi families moving to town. We got nothing. And you guys responded. Huge. And you keep responding, which is why the lobby never really gets totally cleaned out before, you know, new stuff comes in and then it goes out and then it comes in again. Just before Christmas, I really tried. I thought those people are going to want the lobby cleaned. So, you know, got a truck, okay, went, delivered. We did 3 truckloads. Problem is that one of them was incoming, okay? So we got rid of 2 truckloads and then we wound up with a truck. Got rid of most of that, and you know, now we're ready to get rid of some big stuff again. It keeps going. And the thing is that even though it probably doesn't make the place look beautiful and things like that, guy came to church here on Christmas Eve, right? And saw this and called us and showed up this week with this enormous television. Because he said, yeah, I like what you guys are doing. Never been to your church before, but I like it. It's beautiful. And you see, that's one of the things I think about Jesus. As he was doing his ministry, so oftentimes it was the people outside that got what was going on because they knew and they were desperate for forgiveness and life and redemption. And I think the same thing happens to us a lot of times too. We got a $1,000 check this week from a retired dentist in Clive who's related to one of y'all. Why? Doesn't go to church, this guy. Doesn't think much of the church. He's one of the people, right? But he sees something in what it is that's happening that he connects with God, Jesus, spirituality, all that positive stuff. The furniture leads to Arabic Alpha at 10:30. And when you think about it, there's Arab worship going on. There's a miso service at 1 o'clock. We do our stuff in English. At the next service, there are Liberians and Sudanese. That's five. That's amazing. That's incredible. Because people find Jesus here. Went to the local mosque. It's a Bosnian place. No Arabs, okay? It's kind of funny that the mosque should be as segregated as the churches, isn't it? Knock on the door, okay? Meet with the imam now on a regular basis for coffee. Trade secrets, you know what I mean? Turns out people are the same. I mean, who knew, right? And, you know, even though we're kind of playing on different teams, there's a lot of understanding and there's a lot of, what we're trying to do is this. If something happened in this neighborhood, something bad, and it was a, you did this to me because I'm a Muslim issue, we got that taken care of now. We're going to be okay in Lower Beaver. We can speak to that because we've got the relationship. Christmas Eve dinner, Merkin put on a big spread for us. We had about 70 people, four or five Iraqi families, 15 people from the Congo, some of the Mizo, the imam from the Bosniak mosque, and some of his guys. Now, ain't that nice when we can all come together on Jesus' birthday and celebrate the things that truly matter? And you know, where is this all going? Well, Arabic Alpha is probably the beginning, and it probably gets better from there. And I would expect that, because here's the thing. They come to us for help in solving their problems, for help in solving their disputes, for the furniture, for the, you know, the stuff of life, but now also for the relationships, and that's beautiful. Last December, Angel Tree, Christmas baskets, I had to hurry, I'm sorry. Everybody stepped up. They did it again this year. It's just amazing. The clothes closet comes out of this. Last December, right, the Mizo came and joined us. They're people without a pastor, without a church, looking for a place where they can worship. You know, and praying about this, we realized, here's the thing, we have to incorporate. We have to be one church, because that's what it says in the book. We cannot just be a renter, landlord kind of a thing. It just doesn't work. That's not what the book says. We are one in Jesus Christ. And so now, well, we are. And it's a gorgeous, beautiful kind of a thing. And because they're here, hey, we get the opportunity to integrate the Sunday school. We get to bring in kids from the apartment complexes that we work with on Wednesday nights, as well as the Mizo kids from the 1 o'clock service. It is gorgeous. The street outreach got a real shot in the arm. You know, beautiful things are being done for areas homeless through that, through Invited In as well, and a lot of things that I just don't have time to talk about right now. Wednesday night suppers, you know, we're doing four times what we were doing 5 years ago in terms of meals served on a regular basis. And our highest number is actually, you know, well beyond that. This is important for people. And what you need to understand is it's not just kids from the apartment complex. It's people from the neighborhood, people who look to us for meals. And it's beautiful. I think it makes Jesus proud. Now, we've learned a lot of things over the last 18 months, and, you know, I'll let you read all those things. But this is what I need you to understand, okay? In light of all this stuff, I need you to hear it from me. Number one, this is not just about our neighborhood. This is not just about Lower Beaver. You take this home wherever you live, and you just be a disciple. Do it. That's what we're trying to do, is raise up people who have, if you will, a kingdom consciousness about what's going on around them, and do it. Lower Beaver is just where it starts. Maybe next month it's over here, or next week, wherever God goes. We didn't count on Samuelson, let alone the other schools. Wherever it goes, we follow. Number two, it's not just about refugees. We don't care what color you are. You need something. Why wouldn't you go to Jesus to get it? And why wouldn't he use his body to meet that? Third, this is not about local versus global. You saw we got a team going away. Last year we had four, okay? Different places. We are not losing our passion for the rest of the world. Jesus is in you. Wherever you go, he is anxious to be known there. And so this is not something where it's a zero-sum proposition where by doing this we can't do that. Jesus has figured it out. We can do it all. And all the more so because we are a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. You know, we couldn't do what we were doing if we hadn't borrowed vans from other churches, ministries, and organizations. We regularly partner with them to get things done. And that is what is going to bring on this great and glorious future. Our story is a part of God's bigger story. And he's doing great and wondrous things. When you leave today, drive out of the parking lot that way. It'll take you over to Aurora. Take a look at the community gardens. The dirt's ready. We just have to move it around and till it. We've got, I don't know, 30-some plots out there, all right, that'll be used for community gardens this fall. Why? Because the neighborhood asked. We've got the space. We might as well use it for the glory of God. We've got life skills classes that'll be coming starting this month. You know, for some of our recent immigrants, how do you manage money? How do you go to the pharmacy? These very small things. But when people like you and me just take an hour to sit down with a translator to a group of people and explain to them how the stuff works. Because here's the thing, nobody else does it. You'd think it would. It would make sense that we would have some great program. But all the agencies that are in charge of all of this are swamped. They are way too busy, and they can do nothing but meet the most largest, biggest needs. And you know, for the rest of us, hey, what a great opportunity to witness to our faith and to show the love of Jesus Christ. And it works. This month, we start training, too, for the Iowa Career Access Point computer that's going to be in the library, which means that people can come to the church to find jobs, which is great. It's going to save us a whole lot of work because right now, trying to find people's job, it takes a lot of time. Now they'll come here. It'll be a beautiful opportunity. Jesus has called us to be part of his amazing adventure and his amazing story. Over this sermon series, I'm going to invite you, what's your part in it? How does your story fit into his great big story? It's not about guilting anybody or whatever. It's about an opportunity that we have to be the body of Christ, to be his church, right here, right now, for his sake and for his glory, not for ours. Thanks for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you in favor and give you peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.